most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Guess who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
Swing and a miss. Ball game over. Josh James starts the handshake line for the second straight night. And Blummer, that was a game where it looked like the Astros were dead in the water a few different times, and they somehow prevail to win this one 9-5.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome in, everybody, and you heard it. Todd Callis on AT&T Sportsnet. The Astros win it 9-5. The White Sox lose again. You got a 5.5-game lead on the White Sox now.
Feels comfortable.
Yeah, that's comfortable. 8 games over Seattle. Oakland loses. They're 9 games out. We thought that it was going to come down to these final two series against Oakland, and it's really not. What it's coming down to is the final series against Tampa Bay, because the Astros just 2.5 now behind Tampa Bay, and you've got another one here with the Angels, and you've got 3 against Oakland, 3 against Tampa, and then 3 against Oakland to finish out the season. And it, you know, what you thought was going to be a race for the West, that's about over. It is. It's practically over. And now you got Tampa Bay, who's sitting there probably a little bit worried. Kevin Kiermaier's got a nice dot on his back because of last night. We'll explain that in a little bit. And for those of you who hadn't heard what had happened in that situation, the Astros looking good. They're coming up with good. You know, it wasn't really happening a lot early in the season, but they're coming up with a lot of big hits lately. And that's always a great sign.
Oh, that's key.
That's a lot of confidence when you're going into late innings down, you know, that you're never out of it.
No, and that's something that they have been doing here for about a month, is maybe a little bit more than a month, is they've been getting the hits in late innings and extending games, because even when they're behind, they're able to scratch together crooked numbers. And they did that again yesterday, down 5-2 at one point. They rallied back 5-5, and then, of course, the 4-12. You know, it's another game. A player that we're going to talk about hitting, and we'll get to some guys in the lineup, and maybe even, I'm sure we'll start talking about Garcia a little bit. He went 6 innings, only 1 strikeout, which is a little strange for him, 3 walks, but overall, solid performance.
Yeah, really solid.
You know, I mean, he's making a case that he needs to be one of the four. He needs to be one of the four. But I'm sure we'll talk all about that. You know, Josh James has very quietly come back on the team and done a pretty good job here recently. Back-to-back nights he's pitched. But that's 3 straight, you know, after coming back to the team and immediately struggling and having some issues. And he did, you know, September 4th gave up the 2 earned runs in an inning. The game after that against Texas, gave up an earned run in an inning. He gave up not a home run in that case. But then his last 3 outings, 3 innings pitched, no hits, no runs. He's had 4 strikeouts and a walk. Josh James has very quietly had, 3 very stable, quality innings pitched or appearances, I should say. And I'm kind of, you know, it's not anything to hyper-focus on, but he's going to maybe put himself in the mix for discussions about playoffs. I don't think for the first round. He just hasn't been around enough. But if Josh James can close out the season on a good run, maybe he's a guy that we're talking about too, about whether or not he deserves to be in a playoff roster. So just another name just kind of to throw out there, because he has been pretty good for 3 straight times out where he's looked like he's been in command.
Well, and then there's Phil Maton.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know how many earned runs he's given up this month?
How many?
He gave up 5 yesterday. How many do you think he's given up this month?
5.
5.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's pitched 9.
He's been pretty
well,
good.
Well, except when he came in and he threw that curveball and hit it. You know, not every one of his hits are, you know, obviously men left on base aren't his responsibility. So that was a problem earlier this month. But, you know, he's been okay. Dusty trusts him in big situations. Dusty trusted him. And, you know, there's another situation where it's just Garcia threw 79 pitches. Let's get him out of there. And because we don't want him to have too many pitches, too many innings and tire out for the end of the season. And yet, as soon as they pull him, Maton comes in and gives up a five spot. So that's
almost
a problem.
It almost never fails.
Yes.
Whenever you bring a guy out and it looks premature, even though we know that that's what they're going to do with Garcia, it almost never fails that whoever comes in stinks.
Yeah.
Almost never fails. A lot of times it's Yimi.
I mean, honestly,
Christian Javier.
If Maton comes in a game situation in the postseason, how you feeling?
I mean, he's not a guy that I was feeling great about anyway. Of the three relievers they traded for, Yimi was supposed to be the best, followed by Graveman, followed by Maton was just a guy that they thought was an arm that they might be able to do something with. It's just turned out Graveman 1, Maton 2, Yimi 3.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was not expected.
No. And so this is going to be, it'll be interesting to see. Man, there are so many decisions. I don't remember this many roster decisions.
No.
Yeah.
Tough choices, and not because you can't find anything. Well, the bullpen it is because you've got some guys who have talent, but they're very inconsistent. But, yeah, who you're going to keep in the infield, in the outfield. Infield is pretty much set, but I'm just talking about, is Marwin going to stick around? What are you going to do? You have to have two catchers. What are you going to do with your outfield situation? There are a lot of questions about the roster. We've already talked about what the rotation is going to look like. That does give you a little bit of drama headed into the playoffs about how that's going to look, because I think that's something that's a little that is going to be rather curious how this thing all settles out and how it's. I assume this is Dusty's call. It would have to be. He's the manager, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how Dusty ends up coming up with this. You know, Garcia. They have done a nice job on his pitch count. I mean, they have done a mm-hmm. nice job. His regular season, he's thrown 150 innings. Obviously, he's never thrown, you know, Luis Garcia. He's 24 years old. He had 12 innings. This year, he has 150 innings. The point is, never in his career, including the minor leagues, has he thrown this many innings. That's the concern. I don't see him. But he doesn't show any signs of fatiguing late in the season. So, I mean, that's one of the positives is it's not like he looks like a guy who's really starting to struggle late in the year, hit a wall. I don't think so.
No, but the lack of strikeouts might be a little bit that he can't overpower guys. You know, that he's – listen, that cutter is still one of the best in baseball. That cutter is unbelievable how many swings and misses he gets. It is they broke down – you know, best pitches by pitchers in Major League Baseball, and he was right up there at the top with that cutter, how difficult it is to hit. And he's only, they put it up yesterday against right-handers, it was like 38%, and it was, you know, whatever it was against left-handers. And, you know, I don't know if there should be more usage. He doesn't throw it. He doesn't have a changeup. He doesn't throw that at all. And that's an out pitch for a lot of guys.
Well, and you know, this is something to keep an eye on. It's his highest on base percentage so far in September. Now, he's pitched four games. In August, he pitched six games. He had 32 and a third innings. He had 36 strikeouts, 9 walks. The month before that, July, 15 and two thirds. He had 24 strikeouts, 3 walks. The month before that, 34 and a third, 36 strikeouts, 11 walks. This month, 22 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts, 9 walks.
Yeah.
So maybe it is something to keep an eye on. His on-base percentage at .275 is the highest it's been all year. So maybe, you know, it doesn't feel like, I mean, he doesn't feel dominant, certainly, but it doesn't feel like he's having, but yeah, those are indicators, though.
Yeah, no,
those
absolutely.
Are indicators. The swing and miss stuff, can you get guys to swing and miss? That is something to keep an eye on, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is. So Astros win. Again, the A's lose, they're 9 out. Seattle's in second, they're 8 out. The White Sox lose, they're 5.5 behind the Astros.
Can we have a Yankee watch? Can we start doing a daily Yankee watch to see if they miss the playoffs?
Why? Who cares if they're in or out? No one cares about the Yankees.
No, I want them to miss. No, I want them to miss. I want them and their fans to miss. 100%.
Why are you? Why are you hateful?
Can the Dodgers miss?
Why are you hateful?
Are the Dodgers going to miss the playoffs?
The Dodgers are in. They're already in. Yeah, the Dodgers are in.
Man,
the Yankees are actually. They just moved ahead, a half game ahead of the Blue Jays, so they're in the postseason. Just for your, just an FYI.
I want Georgie in.
For whatever reason, I was watching the Red Sox last night with stupid yellow and blue uniforms.
Horrible.
Yeah. And no, it was bad. It was dumb. But Chris Sale was out there and he looked pretty good, and that was a little discouraging.
Chris Sale's a guy who this just in, you know, when he's pitching well, you don't want to see him.
Yeah. No, I didn't enjoy watching Chris Sale last night. So that was that. Yeah, they just pounded the Mets 12-5, and Sale looked pretty good. So yeah, if the Red Sox are coming together, listen, there's a chance that this isn't the White Sox. There's a chance that you're playing the Red Sox or the Yankees in the division.
Well, they won
series.
Seven straight. They beat the Mets 2 in a row. They swept the Orioles, but now they get the Yankees.
Yeah,
and the Yankees are tomorrow, and those two teams are going to beat up. Hopefully, the Red Sox stay hot. I'm telling you, I want the Yankees completely out of the playoffs.
This is a fun end of season series that is going to determine, you know, fates for front office people, for players on both teams. That's fun. Yankees Red Sox is the greatest rivalry in Major League Baseball, and to have them coming down to the final weeks of the season to decide if they're going to two teams that are going to the playoffs. That's fun. That's going to be fun. 7-11 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. What's not going to be as fun is probably tonight's game, Texans and Carolina. We got that tonight, so we will break that down for you on the other side. My bookie says it's a 7.5-point game. If you want to bet that at my bookie, you can actually bet it down to 7, and you can actually pay the juice. It's actually goes from -110 to -125. I know this. For some reason, I know this. I don't know why, but I do. So here's the deal. You want to play at my bookie. You want to win and you want to get paid. You do that by going to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. And for those everybody who deposits right now, anybody who deposits, even if you're already a client, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, and you're going to get, if you whatever your deposit is, up to $1,000, they're going to match that. So you get double to play with. You're looking for a great way to win, get paid, and just have some fun. The website is awesome. It's easy to navigate. It's easy to bet. It's so good. It's got so many. It's got live in-game betting. It's got casino. It's got horse racing. It's got everything. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:15, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Since you didn't tease anything, I'm going to do this. I'm looking at
odds. I did have to correct one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I did say that currently you could get the Panthers at -7.5. You can't.
Good luck. It's at least
minus
eight.
-9.
Okay. I see 8 right now.
I got 9 right now in my bookie.
Yeah.
I got it early, so I feel like that's figured a little, it was going to go up.
I like the under today. I don't like the Texans to score a whole lot, but I do like the Texans maybe to slow down Sam Darnold, maybe not so much Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey right now, I'm looking at MVP odds, and the favorite, where's CMC? I didn't even see his odds. Christian McCaffrey, oh my gosh. Christian McCaffrey is +4,500. 100 to win, 4,500. 45 to 1.
Christian McCaffrey is 45 to 1? Are you sure it's not 450?
No.
4,500?
No. Does that, I mean, I know that running backs are not going to win. Look, 2,000-yard rushers don't win it. And is he going to win enough games? Is he going to win enough games to win it? I don't know. But he has rushed so far for 170 yards, which is not even 100 a game. He's had 154 receiving yards, including 14 catches. He has only one touchdown. I guess that's the right number. It just feels a little high. But I don't know how they're really going to stop Christian McCaffrey, because even when he doesn't run for a lot, he's just such a dangerous pass catcher. 14 catches this year in two games. 14 catches.
Wow. Yeah, no, he's
Sammy Darnold doesn't mind checking down.
No, that's great. No, that is great.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who right now is going to be on pace for damn near 100 catches. If you have a running back who ends up with 100 catches, over 1,000 yards receiving, and 1,300 yards rushing, if he can get the touchdowns, I think he would be in the mix for MVP. I just don't think there's enough there.
So how many does he run for tonight? How many total yards does he have tonight?
Total yards lately, his total yards has been at like 130. I would say against the Texans, you have to make that closer to 80 and 55. Yeah, I think it'll be around 138 and a half, something like that. Maybe 140 total yards. That's a lot.
Would you go under or over? Will he have a run of over 40 yards tonight?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. 40's a lot.
I don't know.
Is that a prop?
No, it's not
a prop. Oh, okay.
No, that's my
prop. I don't think so. I don't think he'll have a run of
Here's a prop. Yards. First half total points, 22 and a half.
Under. The Texans are going to struggle. I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen.
Carolina total points, 26 and a half.
Yeah, I'm going to say under.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think they get
Houston total points, 16 and a half.
Under.
You like the under all the way around.
We talked about it yesterday. I think we're looking at something like 23 to 10. I mean, I think it's going to be a low scoring. Panthers are a pretty smothering defense.
Yeah.
And so here's what's going to be interesting that I think you should keep an eye on. And it's going to be a little weird. So it's one of those things, it feels like Princess Bride, where the Panthers think the Texans are going to run the ball a lot because they got a rookie quarterback. But then Tim Kelly may think that the Panthers think that we're going to do this, so we're actually going to do this. So now Phil Stone, the defense coordinator for the Panthers, have to think they believe that we think that they're going to run the ball. So we think then they might pass the ball when actually they're going to run the ball. It may be one of those situations, but I don't think Tim Kelly, if you're thinking that he's going to protect Davis Mills and really go hyper conservative, he may go hyper conservative on some third down calls when they're behind the sticks at like 3rd and 8. He may be a little bit conservative there, but you know what I think he's going to do? I think he's going to come out and either be in 2 tight end sets or be in 4 wide receiver sets. I think it's going to be all or nothing. And I do think that Tim Kelly is going to say, okay, I know that they're going to anticipate that we're going to run the football, so we're going to actually open it up and surprise them. I can't tell you how many times I see that happen in the NFL where you think that one team is going to be conservative because they've got offensive line problems or whatever, and they come out and they're all spread. Because one of the things you can do out of that is throw quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that Tim Kelly may do. So don't be shocked if Tim Kelly actually opens it up a little bit with Davis Mills and has him. And not sit back in the pocket forever, but quick throws and stuff like that. Because do you think the Texans can just get downhill on the Panthers and say, hey, we're running it, stop us?
Oh, hells no.
No.
Oh, hells no. Do you trust Davis Mills to Tom Brady like lead you down the field with a short passing game?
Absolutely.
You do. You feel good about that?
No, that's why I like the under. I'm just saying Tim Kelly's game plan is going to be interesting. I think having one game, the real problem I think is going to be when you face the Bills, because the Bills will have a full game of film on Davis Mills, and I think the Bills game is going to be a real problem for the Texans. Right now, you still aren't exactly sure about Davis Mills. You only have a half. So now if the Texans can run the ball effectively, I'm sure they'll run it a lot. I just don't think they're going to be very effective in doing it. I'm looking at these odds for MVP. It's not on my bookie. It's on a different site. But Tom Brady is plus 425. I mean, that's still good action, isn't it?
4-1 on Tom Brady being MVP? It's hard to win MVP, though. How many times has he won MVP?
Okay, well, Tom Brady.
Was he a 2-time MVP? Or is he?
No, it's more times than that,
3?
Right? I mean, he's got 9 touchdowns so far in 2 games.
I'm not sure that it is more than that. I mean, the dude's been around.
No, you're right. No, it's going to be lower. Because I remember he doesn't typically. The year that he threw all those touchdowns to Randy Moss, he was MVP. I'll look at his
How many
awards,
MVPs has Tom Brady won?
Pro Bowls, MVPs 3.
3, yeah.
7, 10, and 17.
He's been around for 40 years. He's won 3 MVPs.
Yeah, He's won 31 awards, but three first-team All-Pros. That's it.
That's it.
Three first-team All-Pros. How's that possible? He's been Offensive Player of the Year twice, same time he was MVP. But three-time MVP, but it wouldn't shock me if Tom Brady is MVP this year. I think plus 450 is pretty good odds. But the guy that I like is the guy that I think has good odds is Matthew Stafford, plus 1,200. He's a 12-1 underdog.
That's a good that now that's
now if you're looking for somebody like who's a guy he's a career achievement guy. Yeah. So I think there'll be people who are sympathetic to him playing on a bad team. He's playing really well. I don't think it's going to change. He's got a ton of weapons over there. He's going to get some quality wins in that division. So it's not like he's going to beat up on a crap division. I think Matthew Stafford is one, and Tom Brady is one, and then Christian McCaffrey, man, 4,500. 100 to win you 4,500. That seems like a lot for a guy who is going to potentially...
Except you're right. I mean, Derrick Henry runs just for 2,000 yards, and he can't get it.
No, I know.
And Carolina's not... not like Carolina's going to be... Now, I would say this. Carolina's got a shot to be... a really surprised team this year under Matt Rule.
They might be able to upset Tampa.
They might be able to,
and if they did and they sweep... And you sweep Atlanta and New Orleans, which is possible. There's five wins right there tonight. Six. They already beat the Jets. Seven.
No, they could. They've got a chance of being a playoff team this year.
Yeah,
they really do.
They got a good chance.
That is a weak division. With New Orleans isn't any good.
But to win MVP, Christian McCaffrey would need his team to go, I think, at least 11-6, and probably 12-5.
Right. And you know, and then that's Rule Coach of the Year. There's a chance that's going to happen.
I mean, we've been talking about this on the air. Matt Rule is like a lock to do well to me.
Yeah.
He turned around Temple because he understands how to change culture. He got them, and I remember reading about him because all these Temple guys I had to write up. I was writing up all these Temple guys. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I don't know if I've told this one on the air or not, but so I went in to talk to Baylor in Texas, back to back. Me and my buddy Tyler Oberle, we've got a business model we're working on where we do. Tyler can project frame size for high school kids who are at college camps and stuff like that. We worked at University of Houston this year. Had frame and athletic scores on 650 kids in their camp. We did Tom Herman at University of Texas in 2019. Anyway, we went to Baylor first, and then we went to Texas. True hand to God. Our talks with Matt Rule and Baylor, they blew away Texas. It wasn't even close. Matt Rule's understanding of roster building and traits and what to look for was head and shoulders above Tom Herman and University of Texas. Matt Rule had no money because the Big 12 was still holding their money because of the stuff with Art Briles. Mm-hmm. Like they were going to get it at the end of a probationary period. Texas had all the money in the world, the very best facilities. It was unbelievable. But Matt Rule spent 1 year with the New York Giants, and I think he learned, we talked about this a little bit, he learned a lot about how to look for pro players and traits. And so what he would recruit at Temple were guys who were big, fast, long-arm guys or guys who had growth potential. He looked for a certain type of player. He did the same thing. He turned Baylor, and I told you, Ballard told me before, if he had any balls at all, he would have hired Matt Rule coming off of a one-win season against Baylor. He's like, best interview I had was Matt Rule. It was Matt Rule and then Josh McDaniels. I mean, we know Josh bailed but he said, if I had any balls at all, my first hire would have been Matt Rule's head coach. But he said, I couldn't go with the one-win Baylor coach. Like, that would have been a hard sell to Irsay when I just got I'd just gotten rid of Pagano and got that job. Now he's in Carolina, and he's turning that around too. There are certain coaches, I know it's about Jimmy's and Joe's and the X's and O's, but there are certain coaches who allow you to have that opportunity. And I don't think David Culley's one of those guys. We talk about Pawpaw Culley's a nice guy and all that stuff. But there are certain coaches who just get it. And in all sports, there are certain guys who just get it. And he's one of those guys. And it just kind of pisses me off that the Texans have never had that guy at GM, have never had that guy at head coach. I just wish we could have that guy. Maybe Casera will be that guy.
Maybe.
There's a chance. I know you You've been talking about how you're really starting to come along on Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I'm worried.
I want to see how he does on the draft. Because ultimately, you can only build a team through the draft.
Yeah, right. We'll see how he does in the draft. That's going to be the deciding factor. I really like the way he's handling the Deshaun situation and going to get the most that he possibly can. I know a lot of people, why did you take, I heard three
just take anything.
Just get rid of him. Why did you? No, he's doing it right. Let Nick do his job. You do your job, whatever your job is. I'm doing my job, whatever my job is. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to let Nick take care of this Deshaun situation because he seems to be handling it pretty damn well. It's 727 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We'll hear from some Texans players about tonight and what's going to happen next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm going to hear from Patrick Chastain because I'm going to go see Patrick today. Matter of fact, he's a big U of H guy. So last week he was all about in the week before the Texas Tech game and then last week. And so he's been busy. So I'm going to hook. And oh, by the way, he's got a dealership to run. So there's that too. And I love his leadership. You know, we talk about leadership like that and we talk about the guy who is, you know, running the thing. We talk about Caserio and building a culture and all of that stuff. If you think that's just sports, you're wrong. That's in business as well. And it's so funny. I mean, they all talk the same talk. They all talk the same language about getting you into that car or truck at the best price. This is how they go about it every single day at Chastain Ford. We want to get you in that best Ford car or truck that we possibly can, where you are at the payments that you have to be at, and we're not going to sell you something that you don't want. So get there, customize the vehicle the way that you want it, and you're going to get the best people doing the best job for you every single time. It's all at ChastainFord.com, or get to the dealership and meet the great people at Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 7:31 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Earlier in the week, I think it was on Monday when Coach Culley was doing his press conference, he said, yeah, we're not going to change anything offensively. You know, today we're going to run the same offense that Tyrod ran with Davis Mills. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I'm not sure, and we could talk about it, but Tim Kelly talked about how he's going to have to adjust for Davis Mills, a quarterback.
I think anytime you have a different quarterback in the game, you're doing what you can to try to play to his strengths. So Davis has done a good job since he's got here coming in and putting himself in a position to go out and hopefully make that transition seamlessly. And we're going to still do what we can to make sure we're putting him in a spot to be successful.
So what do you think they're going to have? So, you know, Tyrod Taylor was thrown on time. Tyrod Taylor wasn't like he was extending plays, all these plays.
It's easier to run an offense with Tyrod than Deshaun. Yeah. Believe it or not, I like it for the play to run as it's designed.
That question about Kyler too. Keyshawn yesterday morning was talking about, you know what? I wouldn't want to play with Kyler. I got to run a route, then I got to run around, then I got to run again.
That is what it is.
It is what
you
it is.
Had that Lamar Jackson. Although Lamar's getting a little bit better about it, but it's you're always going to have. You know, wide receivers, they like knowing when they run their routes, the ball's coming at a certain time. But it's amazing. Zach Wilson's one, too. Zach Wilson likes for it to go off schedule. So did Johnny. You better be careful. If you're a college guy and you do all your work off schedule and you think everything's going to be fine, it ain't going to be fine. Because in the NFL, guys are faster. The coverage is tighter. You're going to be throwing off platform a lot more. You better be staying on, unless you're really special, you better be staying on schedule. And Tyrod Taylor's gotten to where he does it. Deshaun Watson. And it's easier for the offense to run the way it's supposed to if you have a quarterback. Now, you're not going to make as many plays if you're not Deshaun Watson. But here's a question for you, though, John. With you saying all that.
Again, I don't think they would have been any more efficient with Deshaun Watson than they were with Tyrod Taylor. As a matter of fact, I think Tyrod Taylor was more efficient.
Tyrod executed the way it was supposed to. Yeah. What could Deshaun have done?
Different.
But he might have made flashier plays on his own. But then Deshaun also, this really what it shows you is Deshaun gives up And we've seen it on tape. Like, for all the ways that we love Deshaun's play, we see guys like, why didn't you just hit the tight end? You know, there was nobody on a tight end in a flat. It's third and three. He didn't even look that way. He's trying to dig in on DeAndre Hopkins and throw into coverage. Sometimes you just, what's the defense giving me? Okay, doop, doop, boop. One, two, three, on to the next one.
Yep, first down. So I don't know how they're going to do it differently with Davis Mills out there as opposed to Tyrod Taylor. I think they're going to want him to make, you know, quick decisions. They're going to want him to play on time as opposed to off schedule. They're going to, I don't know if they can create, you know, a situation. The defense is going to obviously dictate a lot of stuff with how much they're going to blitz him, how many, if they're going to drop seven. If they can get a rush on Davis Mills with four and drop seven in the coverage, it's going to be a long night for Davis Mills.
I'm going to play a little contest for everyone who wants to, everyone who wants to play right now. Get in. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 spots for you. First 10 plays of the game. Only offensive plays. I'm not counting punt. First 10 plays of the game. Here's the phone number, 713-780-3776. We're going to give a barbecue. We're going to give away a tailgate pack from Pete's Fine Meats.
Okay.
I'm going to give your name to Michael if you win next week, and he's going to get you a tailgate pack. That usually is bacon-wrapped quail, bacon-wrapped shrimp, you know, one or the other.
Oh, ribs.
Sausages, ribs. Our butcher, our official butcher of the bench, Michael Cruz over at Pete's Fine Meats. We're going to give, we want five lines open. We have five or six lines open. Call 713.
Four.
Four lines open. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
How many passes?
Of the 10-play script, usually there's a 15-play script. The first 10 is going to be, here's what you get to choose from. 10 passes, no runs. 9 passes, 1 run. 8, 2. All the way down to 0 passes, 10 runs. Okay? Right. And whoever hits that is going to win the barbecue pack. So I got 11 spots for you to fill out. 11 spots to fill out. I guess we're going to have to get names for all those, too.
Yeah. Well, is it, Aaron, are you on your own? He's off by himself, so this ain't going to be easy. This is going to be, so just hold on. You're ringing the phone.
Yeah, hold tight. You know what? I'll come get
him. We can even do that. Yeah, we can do that during a break. We can even do it.
Don't worry about it. But you guys call in, and if you got a busy signal, we can only do four.
We'll take a couple here on. We'll take a couple here on the air.
And
then we'll get. Then we'll go to break.
But be thinking about it.
Yeah.
My prediction is going to be 6 passes, 4 runs.
Okay.
What's yours?
Well, my prediction.
Should we be in a contest where we can win the thing?
Is it so? It's the first 10 plays.
First 10 plays.
First 10 plays. 10-0
all the way down to 0-10 in any combination.
Oh, you got six. Six is a great number. I like six is a great number. I'll go 5-5.
That'd be the favorite.
I'll go 5-5.
Okay, but are we eligible to win this or no?
No, we're not eligible.
Okay. I mean, we
but if I can't take six, I don't think seven. I think that's way too much. I think he's got to. Tim Kelly's going to feel like, I really can't put this all on this kid. I really can't put it all. I think five of the first 10 plays is a lot for Davis Mills
to
be thrown.
In the squares, you know what? I may just assign them to people. I should. Or I'll let him pick them.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll let him pick them.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, pass. If you're first in, you get the best spot.
Yeah.
All right. Justin is first in. Let's get Justin in here. Hey, Justin, how many pass plays you think in the first 10 plays?
Five. I'm going to say five.
Okay, so he's getting one of the favorites.
Yeah,
he's getting Justin, one. We're going to put you on hold. We'll get your information. See, I think there is an outside chance they go seven. Now, what the shocking one would be if they run the ball that much. To me, it'd be shocking because I think that's expected by the Panthers.
Yeah, I would think it is. And oh, by the way, you're going to have a hard time doing that, too. I mean, unless you break open a couple for 6-7 yards in the first couple of series, I think you're just going to be forced to, because you don't want to put Davis Mills in third and long situations, right? I mean, if you run on first down tonight, Tim Kelly, then if you run on first down and you get nothing, you're putting Davis Mills in harm's way.
That's why I'd work backwards. Just like in pitching, you know, where you work off the curve and you throw fastball later in the count. I would, and this is something that a lot of teams will do, early downs, throw.
Yep.
To give yourself a chance, second and five. You know, throw some controlled passing game.
Yeah.
Give yourself a chance. Because I don't think you can just line up and say, we're getting four on you right here, Carolina.
Listen, if their average is third and four Every time they have a third down,
it's a win.
Huge win.
To me.
David is next. Let's get him in here. David, how many runs, how many passes?
How many runs, how many passes? It's going to be 7 runs, 3 passes.
7 and 3.
Okay. We'll get your name, first, last name, and phone number. Once again, this is for a barbecue pack.
All right.
Please find meat.
Let's get Abraham in here. Hey, Abraham.
Biblical.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Go ahead. Give us your shot.
I'm gonna go ahead and go with four passes, 6 runs.
Okay. All right. That makes a little more sense. That makes a little more sense.
You know what this reminds me of? Remember when we first started and we would do an entire, like, you had to pick the winner of some golf of a major? And we did, 2 hours. Okay. Well, what a day today. We've had over 150 calls today. And, like, Dickie, or the guy who would run the station.
No.
Oh, partner, yeah, 150 calls. That's really good stuff.
Ricky, punts don't count on the first 10 plays, Ricky. Okay?
Yeah. How many punts does he have? Three punts?
In the first 10 plays, 3 punts.
He's got him punting on third once? Or on
second? Ross, what you got?
Hey, guys. I'm going 7 passes.
No, too
runs.
Late. It's already taken.
No, 7 passes and 7 runs is.
Is what?
7 runs is taken up.
Oh, 7 passes?
By David. What? 7 passes haven't been taken up yet.
Oh, I thought David had 7 passes.
David had 7 runs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. 7 passes. You got it.
Why do you think that, Ross? Out of curiosity. Okay.
Too late.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Did he hang up? Did we get the information?
Yeah, we don't get the information. We'll just have to prove.
I think Ross wins.
You do?
I think 7 passes. Yep.
I don't. I think that's too much. To put on the kid.
You're on 5.
I got 5 and 5.
You're on 5?
Right. Yeah.
Let's get one more from this, and I'll take the other 5 off the air so you guys can keep calling until. So I want to get this straight. You have no interns today, right, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm all by myself.
Okay, sweet.
All right.
And our digital system's down, so I'm running everything by hand.
Did you know this was coming, this contest?
I did not.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's special about this show and attention deficit disorder is sometimes just contests will pop up. Is it true that advertising, that all major national, the computer that handles all advertising that you fire off was hacked by Russians this weekend?
Yes, it was.
That's a real story.
That's a real national story. So no Russians radio stations.
Every radio station in the country, I mean, there might be some that use some weird backwoods program, but every radio station in the country uses one specific program to schedule all their commercials day to day. Russians hacked it over the weekend. Every radio station in the country is doing everything by hand on paper now.
Wow. Welcome to Gary's Garage. If you would like to bring your car in, we have the best service for you. We can install dash cam in case someone tried to run into your car when they're walking and get some type of claim against you. Also, if you're looking for the very best in sambo fighting, we will also train you in sambo in the back of the garage as well. Come to Gary's. We are an American company. Don't worry. We're definitely not Russian, and we won't be outfitting your car with spy device. Please come in.
Is that what all the advertising is going to be across the place?
It could well be. Or, the Texans are greatest team ever.
Hey, don't miss Texans! You can buy 4 tickets, get 5 Cokes, 10 hot dogs, 20 pizza, and also a car. If you please come to game, 4 tickets, best football. We'll give you everything, including car and house and 25 pizza.
Can we get a chance to record football time in Houston over the Russian national anthem, please?
Tickets just $4.
It won't last long except all year.
It's 743 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll take the rest of this off the air. We'll do the rest of this off the air. We still got some sound from players. And I didn't know this. This is the Olivia Culpo Bowl. We'll tell you why on the other side.
What's that?
It's the Olivia Culpo Bowl. That's Olivia Culpo. You don't know? You've never seen that?
I probably know her somehow.
Yeah.
What is she popular for?
This is for Olivia Culpo supremacy tonight.
Okay, don't tell. On the other side, tell me about that. Because that's a...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So there's a word called ugly. That's not the word I would use.
No. Olivia Culpo.
Oh, not use ugly.
Not. You can't use. I don't think it's ever been used in the same sentence with Olivia Culpo.
Unless all right.
It's 743 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'll get the rest of you guys here in a second. I want to tell you about Cars for Kids.
Hey, maybe you give your car to kids.
Maybe you donate your car, and carsforkids.org can come out there and they can pick up your car. It could be a car, truck, motorcycle, running, not running. It really doesn't matter. What they do is they will come and haul it off. They gave you a $50 Visa gift card when you mentioned that you heard about it from ESPN 97.5. But you do have to say that to get that gift card. And then on top of that, they are going to give you the ability to write that car off for a tax write-off. They'll give you the paperwork necessary for that. So you get a tax write-off. So you got a chance to write off the car, not the kid, because what they're doing is working with Houston Can Academy, and the Can Academy is giving kids who are young people who have had a hard time learning in traditional settings a second chance at a diploma and an education. So you're doing something nice. You're getting a tax write-off for it. Why don't you do it? Go to carsforkids.org, get the information, and start the process of having your car hauled off. They'll even do title transfer. They'll do the search and the transfer. No hassle for you. carsforkids.org.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm watching, we get different things sent to us, but this IHOP fight is pretty good. It's a WWE. It's the women's of wrestling.
It is one of the best fights I've seen in a long time.
Oh my goodness, it's good.
This is better than every stadium fight we've seen so far this year.
I
will put
just
money
Google
on that.
IHOP fight. It's just good. Just Google.
I'll tweet it out.
Just do it. Yeah, tweet it out.
At Aaron is Blitz. If you want to see what the fight that we're talking about, because
it's good.
It starts off just women yelling at each other like normal.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, haymakers start.
Boom, boom. Yeah, I like it.
Of course, you have the cooking staff and everything coming out of the kitchen to try to break it up. And finally, they're like, you know what? Just do it. Ooh. You know, we'll call the cops. It's fine.
You know, women love to just pull each other's hair and punch each other in the face when they
and
do
pull
that.
Each other's clothes down. It's very weird.
Yeah, they do that.
Like, that's their, like, is that your worry while you're in a fight? Is that, oh my God, I might be exposed? Like, you're fighting.
The one of them that just was starting the whole thing, that was standing on the chair, she just isn't doing anything. I want to see her mix it up because she had a lot. She had a mouth on her, that one.
Of course, the woman whose video, you're not listening to it with audio, the woman who's videotaping, once they start throwing stuff and they actually start fighting, she's sitting there yelling at the waistline. She's like, hey, can I get my silverware now so I can eat, please? Like, I get you guys are distracted. I have a stack of pancakes here. I got my syrup, but I never got my silverware. I need this stuff.
I need my silverware so I can eat. I want to eat.
Dinner
it's IHOP.
Show here. That's what I'm talking about.
I didn't come here to watch the women of wrestling. Boom. Ooh, there's a punch. Okay. That's good. No. I'm telling you, women don't fight fair. They just don't. There's a lot of hair pulling.
No, how many women were punching random dudes during stadium fights? Like, they were going to start it because they were throwing haymakers.
Out of nowhere.
Thinking, oh, I'll just knock out this 6'2", 285-pound guy when I'm 5'10", you know, buck 25.
And guess who's,
yeah.
Guess who's going to catch it? Your boyfriend. That's who. I just love it. It's good. That's good, clean fun for the whole family. So is there going to be a – you know what? I don't know if I can believe the players, if you want to know the truth. Titus Howard yesterday talking about Davis Mills and whether or not – how different it is. Here's Titus Howard saying there's no difference to the O-line, whether it's Taylor or whether it's whether it's Mills.
Look, it's the same. I think Davis has taken a lot of reps with us guys over the past couple of weeks. So we're preparing the same. I think he prepared himself for this moment, and I think he's going to do a pretty good job.
And he said he's impressed with Mills after this short amount of time that Davis Mills has been impressive.
When he sits back in the pocket, he's already tall, so he can see everything, and he just delivers. There's one thing I can say about him, he's not scared to take a hit when he's throwing the ball, and you can tell, I think last week, guy came free, he took the hit. A lot of quarterbacks can't take a hit like that and just get right back up. He got right back up, came back down in that drive and scored a touchdown, so that just speaks a lot of a volume to what the type of player he is.
So here's the best attributes of Davis Mills. According to his teammate, he's tall. Okay. All right. He's tall. Now, when you're looking at a quarterback and you're okay, he's got a gun. He's mobile. He can create with his feet, all these things. Davis Mills, he's tall, and he can take a big hit. We know that. So that is, okay, so when you're doing the check marks, assets, Davis Mills, assets, liabilities, check. Tall, check. Takes a big hit, check. So that's really, 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 when you're breaking down Davis Mills' game.
I go old school. He's Jerry Cooney, basically. Sounds like a fighter.
Yeah. He's tall.
The boxer.
He's got the reach. He's got great reach. Okay.
Is he Gustafson from the UFC, the heavyweight?
Mm.
That's not a great, like, what else? He's got the ability to throw.
Right. He's
from the pocket.
He went to Stanford. He's smart.
He's smart.
Yeah.
He is excited to play football.
No. The three attributes that we've talked about Davis Mills so far. So Titus Howard, he's tall and he takes a big hit. But Coach Cully keeps on saying how he bounces back right away after he makes a mistake. So here's the deal. I don't know how many mistakes he's going to make. It seems like a lot. But here's the deal. He bounces right back. He doesn't let it affect him. You know what? What is he? He's a goldfish, right?
Yeah, he's a goldfish.
He's a goldfish. He's a goldfish because goldfish forgets right away. Doesn't remember that bad play he just made. So Davis Mills has the ability to be tall.
Yeah,
He has the ability to take a big hit. And he has the ability, every mistake he makes, he just forgets about right away.
Man.
Yeah.
Those are all positives.
That's what's
all. Tall, I'm durable, telling you. And
oh, forget. I'm changing my bet to the Texans now.
Tall, tall, durable, and not forgetful, but tall, durable, and confident.
Well, forgetful might be it.
Yeah, it could be. Tall, durable, and see, I've got pretty good height at about 6'2". I wouldn't call myself durable necessarily.
Right. Well, is he more durable than Tua? Who would you rather have this week, Tua or Davis Mills?
How about Marcus Spears is on? Like, I'm really worried now that Tua is going to get a label of injury prone. Well, let's go back to college. If the shoe fits.
Dude, that's all he is.
Carson Wentz and Tua, injury prone. Will Fuller, injury prone. Me, bad luck.
No, injury prone. No, you are.
You know what you don't know about me that I haven't told you yet? Do you know that my mom, I guess I could tell this, my mom woke up in the middle of the night. I say middle of the night. I think Bobby Powers came over to the house, a friend of my brother's. He ended up being they went to John Curtis together. He knocked on the door. Something happened where my mom got up, and she was still groggy, and I think the light may have been off. And when she's walking down the steps, she misses a step, falls down the steps, and hits her head on the bottom, on the wall, cracking open the sheetrock. On the back, okay? That's one thing. My dad told me the other day, he was running, and she was riding a bike next to him. She fell off the bike, hurt her leg.
So this is a genetic thing.
It's genetic. And then she walked through a plate glass sliding door. You know, sliding door, she thought it was so clean. She thought it was, and she, bang! I don't know if she walked through it and broke, but I think she did. I think it was broken. I think she broke a glass.
That sounds like a Hunter Pence thing.
And I'm like, yeah. Similar. And I'm like, it's not even my fault.
Yeah.
This isn't not me.
It's just your mom.
We just have bad luck. She has bad luck.
No, that's not bad luck. It's
she has been such bad luck for this family.
No. Maybe somebody before her. You don't know that these genes haven't been passed down. Which of your kids is this gonna be?
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. No one's showing a proclivity for that.
Well, see, that's funny because Alonzo said he said when he was a kid, he was in the hospital like every other week.
Oh,
he
well, Madi has trees. Had. Oh, well, you
oh,
know,
Madi.
Madi has had multiple fractures in her arms.
Well, yeah.
I mean, stop drinking coconut milk and get some real milk in you. I'm allergic to that milk. Not anymore. You're not.
No, that
you're was fine now.
Come on, Madi.
She did a somersault one time.
Jesus loves a vitamin D milk.
But she said, and she'll tell you about every single one. She'll give you a full rundown on what led up to it. The care afterwards, what the trip to the doctor is like. She'll tell you the whole thing. But yeah, she's had, I want to say,
wow.
Maybe we had four, maybe it's four between Alec and her. But yeah, She had a fracture and didn't know it. The doctor goes, yeah, you know, this fracture comes because the other one wasn't quite healed. My wife said, what other fracture?
Mm-hmm.
And you know when she got it? Because Snacks crossed her over. She was trying to guard Snacks in basketball. This is his favorite story of all time. Snacks crossed her over. She was trying to guard him, and she was defending pretty well. And he crossed her. I got a video of it, too, by the way. Snacks goes, post it, post it. He kept yelling, post it. And she fell on the ground on her left arm, and she hurt it, but that's all there was. We're pretty sure that's where she got a fracture
mm-hmm.
that wasn't healed, and she did a somersault or a, what's it called, cartwheel, and like, pop.
Pop.
Like, oh, the doctor said, oh, it's because the other one wasn't healed. Other what? Oh, she had a fracture in her arm. No. She had that in her other arm. No. I got the x-rays. There was a fracture in this arm, too. It's, oh, Marty, it's when Snacks crossed you up. He crushed it. He didn't break your ankles. He broke your forearm.
So Olivia Culpo, we teased okay, that.
Yeah.
So her current and former boyfriends are?
Lucky?
Yeah. That No.
Oh, is that an answer?
No, that was
no.
I want their names.
Oh, I'm going to say Davis Mills.
Nope.
And Sam Darnold.
Now, who's, no, by far the handsomest pickup.
Christian McCaffrey?
Christian McCaffrey's one.
Okay, and for the Texans, I'm going to go with Zach Cunningham.
Nope, not Zach Cunningham.
Titus is married.
I told you this already, actually.
She likes short guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Amendola.
Amendola. Yeah,
that's right.
Amendola. Yeah.
By the way, already heard again.
And Amendola is the current, I think, and McCaffrey's the former.
And
so whoever wins this game gets possession.
Is that? She's a trophy?
She is a trophy.
She's a Thursday night trophy?
She is a trophy. No. Have you seen Olivia Culpo?
Well,
she's a trophy.
I mean, you're a winner.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you win.
I'm telling you, this is.
She is a person, John. She's not somebody.
Is that
to
your
be-
wife on the phone?
No. It's Michael from Pizza by Meats.
Oh.
She's not someone who. He's probably like, hey, did y'all give away a pack?
Because everybody's pack? Calling like, saying they won it.
Yeah, we did. By the way, we have three spots still open, 713. They're not great ones, but they're still open in the meatpack lottery.
What they're going to be is the underdog.
Well, yeah, you will definitely be the underdogs here. So Underdog Fantasy, when I look at Underdog Fantasy, I can tell you this. Underdog Fantasy gives you a chance to do one of my favorite things right now is, yes, there is a very specific game that you can play with just tonight's game. You'll pick. They're all flex positions. You don't get quarterbacks. You pick your lineup. Obviously, you can play head-to-head, for example. Head-to-head for $25 against somebody. And if you get first pick, Christian McCaffrey, you're in amazing shape. That's how that goes. You're picking just between Texans and Carolina Panthers. You have Monday games, Sunday games. You have Thursday games. But, you know, here's what else you get. The Pick'em contest, where it's not a Pick'em. It's a head-to-head, or rather, it's you're picking overs and unders. So if you say Sam Darnold, 248 yards passing, you like it over or you like it under? Christian McCaffrey's total yards, you like it over or under? And here's the thing. If you go from 2 to 5, any number in between 2 and 5, and you're going to get multipliers. So if you want to pick just two of them and you want to put $50 down, that pays 3-1. You'd win $150 just for winning two. Just for winning two. You win 20-1. That $50 is going to obviously turn into a cool little grand if you're able to hit five of them. So this is your chance to play not only daily fantasy, but also a great pick'em contest as well. And that's going on every single day in all the different sports at underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio and they're going to throw you a $25 bonus on top of your first cash deposit. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.